Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
1 Chronicles chapter number 12, and I'll try to give you what the Lord has laid on my heart for this evening. When you find your place, I invite you to stand in honor and reverence to the reading of God's Word. Been teaching my church on Wednesday night through the books of Nehemiah, and we learned there in Nehemiah chapter number 8 where they stood when Ezra the scribe read the law. And what a good practice, so in reverence to God's Word. 1 Chronicles chapter number 12 and verse number 1. The Bible says, "Now these are they that came to David to Ziklag while he yet kept himself close because of Saul the son of Kish. And they were among the mighty men helpers of the war. They were armed with bows and watch this, and could use both the right hand and the left in hurling stones and shooting arrows out of a bow, even of Saul's brethren of Benjamin." Let's pray tonight and ask God's blessing. Our most kind, gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, I need your help. I need your touch tonight, Father. Lord, I stand in a place where no man can stand alone, and in the arm of the flesh I will surely fail. But God, I pray you give me power, give me unction, Father. I need that makes preaching. Father, give us that we stand in need of tonight. Father, I pray that you would let your word find a lodging place in the hearer's heart as I can only get it to their ear. And Father, I pray most of all that we would leave here tonight pleading under Mark 2:12 that we never saw it on that fashion. Go with us, lead, guide, and direct us, and we'll be careful to give you all the praise, honor, thanks, for it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. You can be seated. Thank you for standing. It's been recorded, and I began reading an article this week, and it's been recorded that church attendance and regular church attendance and Christianity as a whole has been on a steady decline ever since the turn of the century. A recent survey revealed that only 21% of Americans today say that they attend church on a weekly basis. Meanwhile, while 57% of Americans claim that they seldomly or never attend a church service. One article I'd read, it recapped a survey of 1 million millennials in that generation that they had asked, and they asked them their opinion concerning church and religion as a whole. And to wrap it all up, to give you the recap, it said that some responded very positively, some responded very negatively, but the overall tone of all those young people was this word, and I quote, "casual." Now, I believe that is a major factor in the problem. Today, friends, we have a casual Christianity. We have developed a day and age where there is casual Christianity. If we don't make it to church today, well, that's okay. I don't feel like going. We'll try again next week. If we don't make it to prayer meeting, that's perfectly okay. And we have developed a realm of casual Christianity in the day that we live in. And we have traded, friend, we have sold out, and we have traded conviction and commitment for convenience and complacency. Yes. And what we desperately need today are some individuals, some blood-bought, born-again children of God that will be all in for the Lord. Those that will serve God no matter the cost, no matter the inconvenience, no matter the circumstance, we need sold-out Christians in the day that we live. Unfortunately, what we have in its place are sellout Christians.
Yes, sir.
Judas Iscariot sold Christ for 30 pieces of silver, while the average churchgoer sells him out for a lot less than that. They sell him out for a trip down to the ball field.
Yes,
amen.
Sir.
We were talking about that before service. I don't know why anyone would go down there. Mount Airy's beat us for 20 years. They're going to do it again. Amen. Why even go? But I said all that to say this tonight, we need some people that will sell out to serve God in this day. And as we examine our text tonight, we are introduced to a group of individuals from the tribe of Benjamin. These individuals from the tribe of Benjamin, we find out about them that they come to David in Ziklag to serve their king and fight in the battle. David was just anointed king in chapter number 11. And here in chapter number 12, these mighty men, these the tribe of Benjamin, they come to David's aid there in Ziklag. And in verse number 2, we learn something very interesting about these men. It says they were armed with bows and could use both the right hand and the left and hurling stones and shooting arrows out of a bow. You say, what do you mean, preacher? We find here that these individuals, they could use both their right hand and their left hand. That's important for this cause. That tells me that I'm not a very smart man, but I do understand that if it's their right hand and their left hand, that's all the hands they got. Am I right on that? Amen. That means that they are able to give God everything.
Yep.
That's all they got.
Oh,
the both hands, right hand and the left hand. And they are prepared to use both of them to be all in for service for King David. I said that to say this tonight. How much the more should you and I strive to give it everything we've got in the service for our King Jesus? David didn't die for them. David didn't bleed for them. David didn't resurrect for them. He didn't pay their sin debt, but they were still willing to serve the King with both hands. But can I tell you how much the more you and I ought to strive to serve the Lord with everything within us? Why? Because He did die for us. He did bleed for us. He did resurrect for us. He did pay our sin debt in full. And we have the responsibility to serve Him not half-heartedly, not just half of the way, not to be part of the way in, but to give Him everything we got and to serve the King with both hands. And as with God's help for a little while tonight, I want to preach on that thought. Serving the King with both hands. Serving the King with both hands. I begin to think as I was coming up the road tonight, and I begin to think, we were listening to the radio there, good piano hymns was on, and I love that, and the good musicians tonight. But can I tell you, as great as it was, and as great as the music was, I wonder if it would have been as powerful and effective if they only played it with one hand. Chances are it probably wouldn't have been the same. It wouldn't have the same effect. It wouldn't have the same power. It wouldn't have the strength, the same draw. And the same way is with our service to the Lord. So many today, they are missing out on what God has for their life because they won't get both hands in the fight. They're trying to serve God with one hand while holding on to something else. And it's high time that you and I, friend, that we get in the battle and we serve the King with both hands. For us to be what we should be and be effective in the work of God, we've got to get both hands in these days. So tonight, with God's help, I want to consider three truths about these individuals here that were serving their King with both hands. There are some things they had to accomplish to get to that point. Bear with me. I'm going to try to preach quick tonight. First of all, tonight, they had to defeat themselves. They had to defeat themselves. You say, what are you talking about, preacher? Well, if we're going to give our all to the Lord and serve our King with both hands, there's some things about ourselves that we're going to have to defeat. There's some things we're going to have to get out of the way. To be empty, to be full of God, we must first be empty of self. And I believe that's where a lot of us miss it. So that means simply this. There's some things we've got to get over. Some things we've got to move past. Note verse number 2 with me again tonight, or verse number 1. Verse number 2. And he said, who are these individuals? What did it say? He said, even of Saul's brethren of Benjamin. These individuals are the tribe of Benjamin. They're brethren of Saul. And as we consider that they are coming to the aid of David here in the wilderness, there must have been some things they had to overcome. Number one, I'd say this, they had to overcome their bitterness. Had to overcome their bitterness. You say, how do you do that? Remember that. They're relatives of Saul. Saul was the king. God had chose Saul to be the king. And God had used Saul. But Saul took it one step too far and disobeyed God in taking those things from Amalek when he was supposed to destroy it all and wipe it completely out. And can I say there's a danger there in delighting in what God said destroy. Amen. And he was delighting in what God said to destroy. And he took those things from Amalek back to himself. And you remember, Samuel, the man of God, said, what's this bleeding of sheep I hear? And called him out for it. And God repented that he had made Saul king. And instead sent Samuel to anoint David to become the next king. Oh, can I tell you this? Because of his disobedience, he was rejected. And surely there was an element of pride in that in his people, his tribe that was hurt. Surely there was bitterness and anger that stemmed from that. You say, how do you get that, preacher? Well, I remember one relative of Saul named Shimei. You remember Shimei in 2 Samuel chapter number 16? He was of the tribe of Benjamin. He was of Saul's kindred. And as David was fleeing after Absalom was trying to overtake the kingdom, who was it that was running along the hilltop throwing stones at David but old Shimei? And Shimei was calling out saying, "Curse you, you bloody man of Belial," said, because the blood of Saul is upon your hands. Sounds like some resentment to me. Sounds like some bitterness to me. And we see that there was bitterness, but now we see that in our text that there's some relatives of Saul, I don't know how long later, but some time later, that it seems like they've let go of that bitterness, that they've released that bitterness, because now we see it's Saul's kindred, the brethren of the tribe of Benjamin, that have gathered together to aid him in battle. And friend, if we are going to be effective in the work of God, God desires that we must defeat our bitterness and our hurt. We must get over the hurt and the bitterness if we're going to be effective for serving God, because we cannot have both hands in the battle if we're fighting with one hand and holding on to bitterness, holding on to hurt, holding on to distraction with the other hand. We have to overcome that bitterness. I was out on visitation a few weeks ago, knocked on a lady's door, and she come to the door, and I invited her, "Yes, ma'am, I'm Pastor Dakota from Myra Fort Baptist Church, and we'd love to invite you to come to church." She said, "Well, you know, me and my husband got hurt in church one time." What I really wanted to say was, "Just one time, what's your secret, amen?" But I said all that to say this. There are individuals today, they're holding on to that hurt. They're holding on to bitterness of something that happened years ago in the past, and it is hindering their service for the King. You say, "Preacher, you don't know what they did. You don't know what they said. You don't know how they treated me." One thing's for certain, I don't know what they said. I don't know what they did. But one thing's for certain, it pales in comparison to what they did to Jesus.
Yes, sir.
It pales in comparison to how he was mocked, how he was bullied, how he was belittled, how he was beaten, how he was crucified and died in our stead. And yeah, even though all that took place, he still didn't go halfway. He didn't go to the cross and stop. No, he went all the way. And he went all the way and died in our stead. His heart did not stop him from giving us all, his all and his best. So why do we let it stop us from giving him our all and our best? We're going to have to overcome our bitterness if we're going to defeat ourselves and serve the King with both hands. I've got to move quickly. But we're going to have to overcome their background. Had to overcome their background. Remember, these are Benjaminites. Remember what Jacob said about Benjamin in Genesis 49? Said, "Benjamin shall raven as a wolf." Boy, if you study it out, there's a lot of wickedness that was amongst the tribe of Benjamin. But apparently these men here, they had gotten past that. And if we're going to serve the King with both hands, we're going to have to get over our background. Get over that past. Learn to move past it. You say, "Preacher, can you counsel me about my bitterness? Can you counsel me about my hurt? Can I give you the best piece of counsel I could give you? Get over it. Move on. You said they hurt me. They hurt my feelings. They made me upset." Yes, and you probably hurt somebody else's feelings and made them upset. Now it's time to move on and go forward and give both hands in the battle to serve the King. You're going to have to overcome their background. There's a lot of witnesses, wickedness. You say, I was a drunk. You say, "I was a drunkie. I was an adulterer." You don't know what my life was like. You don't know what my family was like. But I'm reminded in 1 Corinthians chapter number 6 and verse number 11, it says, "And such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of God." And if we're going to give God our all, if we're going to serve the King with both hands, we have to overcome our background. I'm going to throw this in quickly. They had to overcome their brethren. Isn't it amazing when one family member gets mad and gets upset and leaves, they try to take the whole family with them? Can I tell you what you got to do? You got to determine within yourself that they can do what they want. But I'm going to stay with God, God's man, God's word, and God's house. You can go and do what you want to, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. So if we're going to serve the King with both hands, we're going to have to defeat ourselves. They had to defeat themselves before they could get to this point. Not only did they have to defeat themselves, but they had to disregard their situation. Disregard their situation. Let me show you something. Notice this about their situation. Look what it said in verse number 1. "Now these are they that came to David to Ziklag while he kept himself close because of Saul." Isn't it interesting the place where they were at? They come to David in Ziklag. They were in a separated place. So what they had to disregard, the fact that they were in a separated place. Notice that David went down to Ziklag, and in verse number 1, we see that he kept himself close. Can I tell you what happened? David went to Ziklag and shut himself in. Because he shut himself in, you know what happened? His life had a narrowing. There were some things that narrowed in David's life. And because of that, now these men that come to David's aid, now they're in the same place. They're in a separated place with David, a shut up place. And now there's going to be some narrowing in their life. What are you talking about? They had to disregard that they were in a separated place. You say, what does it mean by joining David there? That narrowing was going to take place in their life. And there was now going to be some places that they couldn't go. There was now going to be some things that they couldn't do. There was now going to be some people that they couldn't see. Why? Because they were in a separated place with the king. And when we get saved and sell out to serve God, He doesn't want just part of our lives. He doesn't want part-time. Can I time out and say this? I'm sick and tired of mediocrity. Amen?
Yes,
sick and tired of middle of the road. Either sell out. Hey, the Bible even said, I'd rather you be cold than lukewarm. He said, but because you're lukewarm, I'll spew thee out of my mouth.
Right.
Mediocrity. They were in a separated place. People won't get all in because they know the things that they'd have to give up. But can I say this? What good is if it doesn't honor and please God? They were in a separated place, but they were with a shunned person. A shunned person. They were not ashamed to be associated with the king. They showed up with David.
Yep.
They showed up to where David was at in Ziklag. They said, I'm joining myself with the king, with David. I'm not ashamed to be in his service. I'm not ashamed to be a mighty man. I'm not ashamed to stand where I need to stand. And you study those mighty men, and they come from all different backgrounds and all different walks of life. And we see that they stood firm and said, I'm not ashamed to be associated with the king. They were connecting themselves to someone who was hated. They were connected to themselves to somebody that was outcasted by society. And I sure am glad when we get saved and sell out to serve God and get in with both hands, we're associating ourselves with somebody who's hated.
Yes.
We're associating ourselves with somebody who's an outcast. You say, preacher, does society really hate Jesus? They really hate Jesus.
Yes.
You say, why do they hate Jesus? Can I tell you, they don't have a problem with the name of Muhammad. They don't have the name of Joseph Smith. They don't have no issue with Buddha or the Hindu gods. You talk about Democrats, Republicans.
Yes.
They don't have a problem with that. But you start talking about Jesus and they start clamming up, don't they? You say, why is that, preacher? Why is it they don't care about those other names? Why is it? Because the Bible says there's no other name given under heaven whereby men must be saved. And that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. There's power in the name of Jesus. And they weren't afraid to be associated with King David. And how we should not be ashamed to be associated with King Jesus. I'm glad to be associated with who I'm with.
Yes,
I'm glad as we walked in the church house on a Friday night, as we passed the beer joints, as we passed the honky-tonks, and you come down here and they set full, I'm glad there's a bunch of people that's not associated with them. They're not associated with Jim, Jack, and tonight, but they're associated with Jesus.
Yep.
I'm glad to be associated with who I'm associated with. They were in a separated place. They were with a shunned person, but they were among a strange population. So what do you mean? They were among the mighty men. Those mighty men come from all different backgrounds and walk of life. However, you know, they had one thing in common. No, what was in common with them? They loved David. And they wanted him in his rightful place on the throne. And tonight, we look out, we all come from different backgrounds. Different walks of life. Different careers, different places of worship. But can I say this tonight? We've got one thing in common. We love Jesus.
Yeah.
We want Him on the rightful place on His throne of our heart. They were among a strange population. If we're going to serve the king with both hands, we can't get our eyes on the situation. We have to discard it and serve God with joy. Do you know there's a difference between joy and happiness? You say, what's that? Happiness hinges on your happenstance. You can be happy as long as everything's going okay. But real joy comes from the Lord. And it stands even when the happenstance isn't what it should be. Without circumstance. And we ought to serve God with joy. Not just when the happening is where it needs to be.
Yes, sir.
They were among the strange people. So if we're going to serve the king with both hands, and may that be our prayer tonight, we're going to have to defeat ourselves. We're going to have to get over bitterness. We're going to have to get over our background. We're going to have to get over our brethren. We're going to have to disregard the situation, the fact that, hey, we're a separated people, the fact that we're with a shunned person, we're associated with him, the fact that we are with a strange population in this world. We need to disregard that situation and go on and get in with both hands. Number three, I'll give you this and I'm done tonight. They had to defeat themselves. They had to disregard their situation. But lastly, they had to develop their skills. They had to develop their skills. Look with me in verse number 2, what the Bible said. They were armed with bows and could use both the right hand and the left in hurling stones and shooting arrows out of a bow, even of Saul's brethren of Benjamin. They could use both their right hand and their left hand. Do you know that doesn't happen by accident? There was a little bit of work involved in that. A little bit of training, a little bit of practice. They were developing their skills. Boy, I've got an overactive imagination, so just bear with me. But I picture maybe little Benjamin out there practicing with his sling one day. Slinging rocks at a tree stump. Somebody walks by and goes, "Benjamin, what are you doing out there?" He said, "Well, I'm practicing with my sling." "Well, what are you doing that for?" The Bible already said they could sling a stone at a hair's breadth. They could get there, hit a mark within a hair's breadth. So Benjamin, why are you out there practicing if you're already that good? He said, "No, you don't understand. That's with my right hand. I'm practicing with my left hand." They said, "Your left hand? Why are you practicing with your left hand?" "Because I don't know. I just have an inkling. There might be a day where I might need both hands in the battle. There might be a time that I'll get caught up and I'll have to serve the king with both hands." Can I tell you, friend, we've got to develop our skills. We've got to ready for battle, because the day and age in which we need to serve the king with both hands is the year and the day that we are living in currently, friend. Yes. We look around at what's going on in the world, and boy, we shout and rejoice that the Lord's coming back. But what about till he gets here? We've got work to be done. There's stuff to be accomplished, and we've got to develop our skills and serve the king with both hands in these days. We focus on how we can make more money. We focus on how we can get more followers, how we can get ahead in life. But very seldom do we say, "How can I serve God better?" Everybody says, "I want to be used of God," but very few people say, "Lord, make me usable." How can we serve God better? What can I do to help the cause of Christ? There needs to be some skills that develop. Listen to me, young people, this is a youth rally after all. But you better be developing some skills in your life right now when it comes to serving God. Right now, mom and daddy may have that thumb on there telling you, "Hey, you better read that Bible. You better go to church. You better pray." But there's going to come a day where mom and daddy's hand's going to be off of it.
That's right.
Yeah. It's going to be up to you. And you better hope that you've developed those skills now to be able to serve the king in battle. It's a spiritual warfare. You better develop those skills now. Can I say this? Just a word to the parents. Your child may be a professional athlete. They may not be. They may be famous. They may not be. They may be president. They may not be. But I tell you one thing that's certain. They're going to stand before God one day.
Yes, sir.
That's certain.
Yeah,
and I might get in trouble, but I'm not going to preach to you nothing I wouldn't say to my people tonight. But I said all that to say this. It might be a little more important that we put a Bible in their hand instead of an iPad.
Yeah.
Might be a little more important that we take them to youth activity than take them to the ball field. Might be a little more important, hey, that we sit around the family table and pray and talk about the things of God than sit behind a television and watch CNN and fill their junk, fill their mind with all that junk. Why? Because they're going to stand before God one day. And we better develop those skills now. Better develop those skills now. Notice that if we're going to serve the king with both hands, it will not be by accident. There'll be work involved. There'll be hardship. Boy, I thought when I got voted, as a matter of fact, a week from tonight will be a year I've been pastoring at Myer Fork. And it's been a blessing and the occasional burden too, amen. But I said all that to say this. When I first took the church, found out I was going to be full-time pastor, I thought, finally, I'm going to have time to study. I'll have an office set up. I'll have it just right where I can study. I won't be on the road all the time. I've got less time now than I ever have. I don't know how they make time to do it all. But we've got to develop our skills now. It's not going to happen by accident. It's through hard work.
Amen.
Notice that these men weren't just hurling stones with both hands. What did your Bible say in verse number 2? They could use both the right hand and the left in hurling stones and shooting arrows out of a bow. Not only did they develop their skills and learn how to sling stones with their right and their left hand, but they growed in that skill. They added to it. Now they're able to shoot arrows. And can I say this one thing that I found comical? How many of you know, if you know your Bible, you studied the life of Benjamin? And how many of you know what Benjamin's name means? It means son of the right hand. Isn't it amazing the son of the right hand produced a tribe of left-handed warriors? That may not do nothing for you, but it done a lot for me. Our desire today, friends, should be always abounding. The work of the Lord.
Yes, sir.
Be ye steadfast and movable, always abounding. That ought to be our goal. They didn't just stop with hurling stones. They added bows to it. They added weapons to it. Why? Because they thought, hey, we can hurl stones pretty good. Hey, but what if the enemy's coming from a long ways away? What if we need to serve the king and they're coming from a long ways away? We better develop our skills a little bit better. Tonight, I just want to leave you with this. So many today, they're trying to do the work of God. They're trying to do it halfway. One hand in it. Just barely in it. The reason is because there's three or four things back here they're not willing to let go of. That bitterness. Their situation. The what ifs. I tell you, God said we are to let go of that. Serve Him with everything. The Bible says that in all things He might have the preeminence. It's up to us to serve Him with both hands. Can I give you this, and I'm done, I promise. When Jesus went to Calvary, He gave everything. You notice he didn't just serve His Father. He didn't just serve the king, even though He was the king, with one hand. But He done it with both hands.
Yes, sir.
Amen. He died in the battle with both hands. And it's only right that we give Him both hands in all that we do. Are you serving the king with both hands? Are you giving Him your all? Young person, I sure would hate... It seems like young people get closer to God in the summertime. They got camp and youth activities and all these things. But the school year comes back around, it seems like they start to slack a little bit. I sure hope that now that the summer's over with, that you don't trade your Bible for a calculator for school. I hope you develop your skills to be able to make time for God. Are you serving God? But you say, preacher, I'm not a senior saint. I'm not middle-aged. I'm just a young person. You're never too young to give God your all. To give Him everything. I got to thinking, God called me to preach when I was 16 years old, and next year will be 10 years. That's hard to believe. But I said all that to say this. Boy, I thought, man, I'm too young to preach. I'm too young to do all this. But can I tell you, that's what we need. That's what we need. There's churches all over this country dying, because young people, they just get one hand in for a while. Until they graduate and go off to college. Never to be seen again. How we need some young people that will grow in the Lord. And they will get both hands in. Serve God now. May we determine. Not starting January 1. Not starting next week. Not starting next month. May we determine right now. That whatever it takes. Whatever I've got to let go. Whatever I've got to defeat. Whatever I've got to disregard. Whatever I need to develop. I'm going to serve the king.